Hello and welcome to Intrepid Times, your home for narrative travel writing with heart. I'm Nathan Thomas, and alongside my co-host Jennifer Roberts, we take you behind the scenes of some of our most popular travel stories, get you to meet travel writers, and help you discover how you can share your own travel stories with the world.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Intrepid Times Travel Writing Podcast. I'm Jennifer Roberts, the senior editor of Intrepid Times, and today I am tackling this episode solo. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you will probably have listened to Nathan's solo episode a few weeks ago, and I decided to tackle one myself to maintain some balance in the universe. Today, I wanted to address a topic that I find really interesting and that we get a lot of questions and concerns about. We're a travel writing podcast here, and so we spend a lot of time talking about writing and talking about the travel experiences that inspire our stories. We spend a lot of time speaking with travel writing authors about what inspires them and the books that they come up with after they've traveled. And all of that is really important, and we care deeply about it, and we want to continue with those episodes. Actually, in the coming weeks, we've got a series of authors that we will be interviewing that we're really excited about. But today, I want to actually talk about the process that comes after you write your story. I'm talking about the editing process. And this is something that we talk a lot about in our Travel Writer Transformation course. It's something that we address quite a bit with the writers that we work with. And I think it's something that writers in general feel some anxiety about. It's one thing to travel and feel inspired and then get words onto a page. And if you have listened to us for a while, you know that that's something that we promote. You know, we want you to just get words on a page. That's where these stories start. If you can do that, then you're well on your way to writing a publishable travel story. I think that there is often less thought put into how to make that story presentable, right? How does it look when it actually makes it to an editor's desk? And why does that appearance matter? You know, why does it matter that there's proper grammar? Why does it matter that the commas and the periods and the semicolons are all well placed? Why does it matter what font you're using? Why are these things you actually need to pay attention to when thinking about sending out travel stories to various publications? So I want to talk about that. I also want to talk about why this process causes anxiety and why it shouldn't. I'm going to offer some ideas for how everybody can tackle the editing process. I don't think there will be many professional editors listening. If there are, amazing. But I think a lot of people listening are, you know, first and foremost writers or people who want to be writers. And so these tips and tricks will hopefully help you feel less anxiety and panic when tackling the editing process and trying to get your story into a publishable format. So first, I want to talk about some of the reasons why editing your story is so important. You know, once you've gotten the words on the page, once you've organized it, once you have a really strong story arc, once you feel like you've gotten the lesson or the point across well, why is it so important to then go back and pay attention to punctuation, to grammar, to formatting? The first reason is that if your story or article or guide is riddled with grammatical errors or punctuation errors or is formatted weirdly, that's going to be a distraction for the editor or readers. You know, if an editor sees a story come through that isn't well edited, you know, not only does that mean more work for them if they accept your story, but they also have to think about how a reader will approach it when it's actually online. And if they feel that the reader's going to have a hard time approaching that story, that can be a reason why stories don't get accepted. If the editors feel like it would be too much work to go in and correct everything, it can be off-putting. The editors are busy people, and they are generally happy to correct, you know, small errors. I don't think any editor expects stories to come through in perfect condition, but when they receive stories or articles with proper formatting, with clear attention to details such as grammar, spelling, punctuation, that's a sign of care and professionalism. If you've taken the time to make sure that your story is not only well written, but well edited, you're presenting yourself as a professional writer. As a professional writer, that includes paying attention to editing. So when you're thinking about the product that you are offering to a publication, you want that product to be clean and well presented. And that in turn helps the publication and the editors at that publication to trust you. You know, it may mean that they are more likely to come to you later with future assignments or suggested articles. They may be more likely to work with you on columns because they know that they can trust you to do your part in the writing and editing process. Again, doing small cleanups of articles and stories is something that as editors, we're very accustomed to do and we're very happy to do. It's part of our job. We generally enjoy doing it. But if we know that the heavy lifting is going to be shared, that's a good sign for editors in general. So if you as the writer are able to take the time to do that, I think it can be really important in just showing that you're willing to put in the time and effort and to do your part. Now, with all of this said, I know some of our listeners are probably feeling a little anxious, maybe having, you know, a little panic attack, you know, thinking, I am not good at grammar, I'm not good at punctuation, I don't know how to edit well. I mean, there's so many rules in English, how do I even begin to tackle this? Rest assured, you do not have to be a professional editor. I know that editing can be very intimidating because there are so many rules and stylistic considerations to think about. You know, this rule says the comma should go here, but it sounds better if I put it here because I want the reader to pause here. You know, how do you begin to think about those things? I mean, they're so subtle and there's so many little details that go into all of that. It can feel overwhelming. But I want to reassure you that it doesn't have to be. There are a lot of tools out there that we definitely encourage you to use, especially if you're not a professional editor and don't feel comfortable tackling grammatical and punctuation rules. Some of those are just, you know, software like Grammarly. You know, Microsoft Word has its own spell check. Google Docs has its own spell check. Those are pretty good also at catching punctuation errors. I also like to encourage people, whenever the story is written and you feel happy with it, you feel like it's like a final version, just take the time to read it out loud and try to do that slowly. This process can be really helpful in catching, you know, not only spelling mistakes, because when you're reading, you may catch, oh, that's not the right word, I've used the wrong word here, I've misspelled this, but it can also catch, you know, strange phrasing or strange word choice. It can catch misplaced commas because you feel, oh, I shouldn't pause there, that comma probably shouldn't be there. And it also helps just catch the flow of the story in general. If you find that you have a hard time reading a couple of sentences, you may need to go back and think about, okay, what's wrong here that's making that difficult to read? Because obviously your readers aren't going to be reading out loud, but they are going to be reading mentally, and the process is similar. So if you're having a hard time reading it out loud and it doesn't feel quite right, there will probably be something that feels a little bit off for readers as well. So that is one process that I like to suggest. It can also be really helpful to print out your story and read over it that way. There's actually some really interesting neuroscience studies that are coming out about the different areas of the brain that are activated when you're reading on a screen versus when you're reading something in print. So there's actually science behind this, and it simply shifts the way that you read. There's a kind of deeper reading process that happens when you're looking at words on an actual sheet of paper as opposed to on a screen. So printing out the story and reading it and kind of, you know, reading it with a red pen in hand and marking things that don't look right, making little notes as you would almost like a teacher, right? If you're looking at a student's paper and trying to grade it, you know, do that for your own writing. You'll often find things that, again, don't sound quite right. You'll catch spelling mistakes. You can mark where a comma may look weird, or, okay, maybe I should have made this into two sentences, or this is definitely a fragment, things like that. And if you don't catch everything, again, that's okay. It definitely doesn't need to be 100% perfect. It just needs to get kind of close. Editors really like when you make their job easier. So if they see that a piece is coming in and it looks overall pretty clean, they won't really have to do a lot of reorganizing. They won't have to check the spelling. They won't really have to move a lot of commas. You know, that's a really nice thing for an editor. It's not required, obviously. We definitely know that some people struggle with this more than others. It's just a nice to have. Now, with that said, if the story, as I mentioned earlier, has a lot of mistakes to the point where it's difficult to read, that can often be a reason why a story gets rejected. Because a story that's difficult to read is often going to obscure the actual travel story behind it. So keep that in mind too. Doesn't need to be perfect, just needs to get close. Other things to pay attention to during your editing process. One of the big things that we see at Intrepid Times, we get a lot of submissions from writers in the UK, which we love getting them because people in the UK do a lot of traveling in Europe and in Asia. They're often very good stories, but people in the UK, of course, write in British English. And at Intrepid Times, we publish all of our stories in American English. So is it a huge deal if the story comes in and it's in British English? No, it's not a deal breaker. But it does suggest that the writer hasn't taken the time to look into the stories that we have published to see which kind of English we're publishing our stories in. It can also be really nice when you send that story in as a pitch to make a note in the email, letting them know this story was originally written in British English, but I have edited it for American English as I know that your publication publishes in American English. That shows the editors that you've paid attention, and it shows them that, again, they can trust you to do your part. Also, pay attention to how much stylistic variation you're seeing in the stories that are available through that publication. Some will be more lax as far as style, meaning that, you know, the dialogue can be organized differently. You know, they may use italics, they may use quotation marks, they may use really long paragraphs and then really short paragraphs. Commas can be used a little more freely depending on how the reader is meant to read the sentences or the paragraphs. Look at that kind of variation in the stories. And in some publications, you may notice that there really isn't much variation at all, and they're just a little stricter with how they want the stories presented. Finally, you'll want to pay attention always to how a publication wants you to submit your piece. So this is kind of what comes after the editing process, but it's something to pay attention to. So in general, publications will want you to submit either via submittable or as a Word doc attachment or a Google Doc attachment. Never, never, never simply copy and paste your story into the body of an email unless it is specified. I've honestly never seen that specified, but just in case, there may be a publication out there doing that. Who knows? Attachments are the way to go if it's not otherwise specified. That also goes for photos. Never just copy and paste photos into the body of an email. Also, try to avoid putting them directly into the story. Always attach them as separate attachments in the same email. We get a lot of people who send through their stories in one email, and then they'll send follow-up emails with the photos attached. That can be really tricky because obviously many publications, including Intrepid Times, are getting a lot of submissions every day. So if there are multiple emails from the same person and the photos are connected to this other email, things can get lost and misplaced, and then we have to write saying, hey, we can't find your photos. Can you send them through again? It's just an extra step that editors would rather avoid. So keep it all in one email if possible. Also, when you are sending your story as an attachment, make sure you write a polite email to accompany it. I cannot tell you the amount of times we've gotten empty emails with a single attachment. This is another professionalism thing. When you're able to just write a short and sweet email saying, hi, this is me. I've been published in this, this, and this publication. This story is about this, this, and this. It just shows that you've taken the time to understand that this story is actually a good fit for this publication and that you care enough to just write a nice, polite email letting the editors know who you are and why you want your story published in that particular publication. An empty email shows a lack of care and a lack of interest in general. Also, just a quick note on fonts. This may make some people laugh, but it's a thing, I promise. Using a strange or particularly large font can be really distracting. And you may say, well, you can just change the font to something you're more comfortable reading. But again, it's an extra step for the editors, and editors are very busy people. They don't want to have to go in and change the size and type of font. They want to be able to open a story, read through it, and make a decision. So some of you may be thinking, well, I don't know what kind of font they want. I don't know what size to use. Try to just use the standard ones. So fonts like Arial, Cambria, Times New Roman, or something similar to that will work. If you aren't sure, Times New Roman is generally the standard. For font size, try to aim for like 11 or 12 point font, unless otherwise specified. So yeah, it's a small thing, but it can also get across a level of professionalism and care. So the final thing that I want to get across is that you should never panic when it comes to the editing process. First of all, editing is a skill that can be learned at any point in your writing career, whether you are a more established writer, whether you are just getting started, whether you want to become a writer. And honestly, the more you write, the better you'll get at catching mistakes. The more pieces you get published, the more editors you work with, the more you'll see the kinds of things that each publication is looking for, and these will just start to come more naturally. You'll start to catch things even before the actual editing process. You know, while you're writing, you'll automatically feel like, oh, that sentence doesn't feel quite right, and you'll go back and fix it before it even becomes an issue. So don't worry. You don't have to be a professional editor. You just have to be somebody who cares about putting a professional product in front of a publication. If you have the motivation to do that, there are tools, there are techniques that you can use, which are the ones that I mentioned before. If you need more help with this, reach out to a friend. A lot of people know people who are just better at grammar and punctuation and things like that. We all have the annoying relative who likes to correct our grammar at every turn when we get together for holidays. Reach out to them and say, hey, I know you really like grammar and punctuation stuff. Can you just look over this and see if you catch anything? They'll probably love it. They'll be super happy to help. You can feel a little more confident sending your piece off to publications. And yes, many of you are probably thinking, well, isn't there variation in what editors look for and what editors want? Yes, every editor is different. Every editor will have their own pet peeves, and you really can't know those things until you develop relationships with individual editors and have written for that publication a couple of times and kind of understand which things they're going to correct and ask you to change and which things they're going to let slide. Again, that just comes with time and experience, and editors also know that. The only thing is just to demonstrate a level of interest and care in the editing process, and that will come across. It's often very obvious for editors when you've just written down a story really quick and sent the first draft. That is not demonstrating that level of care and interest and motivation for presenting a clean final product. Get your words down on paper, that's your first draft. Never send that out to publications. Always go back, edit, reorganize, figure out exactly what the story arc is, figure out exactly what you're trying to get across, rewrite, then edit, and then send. That, in general, is a good way to approach it. Two or three rounds of editing never hurts. Sending it through a software like Grammarly never hurts. As a professional editor, I don't like to use Grammarly for reasons that I've discussed before on the podcast, but I think it can be a great tool for people who aren't professional editors. So I definitely encourage anyone and everyone to make use of it if they feel comfortable doing so. So to wrap up, I want to encourage all of you to keep writing. And as you write, keep in mind that after writing comes editing. And engage in that process in a critical and analytical way. Think about how that feels and how you want to approach it, because everybody has a different editing process. And if you can find a process that works for you going forward, that will be incredibly helpful. Because then you'll know, okay, I write, then I do this, then I do this, and then I edit. And this is what that whole process will look like for me, and then I'll feel good about sending this out to publications. And thank you to everyone who has stuck with me on this solo episode of the Travel Writing Podcast. I know this is not our standard format, and I really appreciate you all listening. I hope this has been helpful. Like I said, in the next few weeks, we will have some really exciting guests coming on to talk about their books, to talk about travel writing, kind of getting back to our standard format of our podcast episodes. Really excited to share all of that with you. If you have any questions or comments about the editing process, I love answering those. It's one of the things that I think about a lot and something that I'm always happy to talk about. So wherever you're at on your writing journey, send in your questions, send in your comments. I would love to hear everybody's opinions on this. Thanks everybody, and we will see you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen. Don't forget to join us in 2 weeks for another exciting episode of the Travel Writing Podcast. See you next time.